going to ask you to rise as we get ready to get into the Word this morning. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful sentiment to be able to say, I'm going to see my victory. Even in the midst of hardship, what a beautiful testimony it is for others around us, for someone that's going through suffering, to in the freedom of Christ be able to say, I'm going to see my victory. And so as we sing these songs, may our hearts be empowered, right? And embraced by the Holy Spirit. We're going to open it in prayer. There's no specific text this morning. But we're going to pray that the Lord would soften the terrains of our heart. This morning, I'm going to be sharing under the theme, embracing suffering. Embracing suffering. And I know that it isn't a thought or a concept that is easy to grasp or easy to accept. But I think that it's an important thing that the believer would know. In my time of meditating, in my time of just praying with the Lord, I was kind of having this conversation with Him in regards to suffering and the believer and my life and what it meant. And He brought a sense of peace to my heart and to my mind to know that sometimes we can embrace suffering. Sometimes we will encounter the suffering, but in the midst of that suffering, we can embrace it and find comfort and find blessings in suffering. And something that we probably want to avoid would be something that could be what catapults us into the next level in Christ. Amen. So let's pray. God, I thank You in this moment. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would settle our hearts this morning. Would settle our minds, oh God, this morning. Would settle our emotions, God. May the peace of God, oh Lord, abound in this place, Lord. May Your love wrap us this morning, God. May the certainty of Your grace towards us, oh Lord, give us the assurance that we need for our lives, oh God. Father, I pray, oh God, right now that You would soften the terrain of our hearts, oh God. That You would open up our minds, oh God. That You will open up our thoughts, our hearts, oh God, to receive this word, oh God, that I know that is from You for us, God. Oh Lord, to be able to receive this thought, oh God, that I know is for us, God. Such a difficult thought, such a difficult concept, but such a freeing concept, oh God. Freeing truth and reality, oh Lord, for Your believer, God. I pray that if there is someone in this place, oh God, that is suffering, oh God, that is going through hardship, God, may they leave this place lighter in You, Jesus. May the chains fall today, God. May our hearts be filled with Your love and Your power today, God. May we live, oh Lord, to leave this place, oh Lord, living free and full, oh God, and empowered lives through Your Holy Spirit, through who You are, through what You are, through who You've been for us, through who You will continue to be for us, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Embracing suffering. Most of you know, and for those that might not know, my wife and I, we're going on, in July, we will be celebrating 6 years of being parents. It has not been easy. Every time I find myself doing something or in the urgent care 2-3 times a week or just running to the pharmacy to get this and then running to the pharmacy to get that, every time I find myself doing that, I tell myself, no one said parenting would be easy, right? But we are celebrating. We're going to be celebrating 6 years of parenthood. And through this process, like any other parent, we have learned a lot, right? One of the things that we have learned, or a concept that has come to the forefront, is that sometimes the best way for our children, and I believe that it doesn't matter what age they are either, but sometimes the best way for them to learn a lesson and a principle is through their experience. Parents know that we can try to give them a heads up. We can try to give them to alert them to something. But sometimes, and I dare say oftentimes, they only learn by experience. And the truth is that whether their learning experience is easy or hard, the outcome is usually beneficial. For example, don't stick your finger in the doorway, right? Don't put your hand where the door closes. Look where you're walking, right? Watch what you're doing. And this morning, Emery, she's a culprit for this. I have to keep telling her, Emmy, look where you're going, please. And second after, she's boom, running into something. So this morning, again, I tell her, watch where you're going. She falls in the car. It's just a matter of life, right? It's just a fact of life for children and for us, right? We probably either have said this before or we've heard people tell us not to do these things before, right? Sometimes, and again, I would dare to say that oftentimes these learning experiences are usually experiences that entail some level of suffering. And whether that suffering brings with it a physical pain or a mental pain, that suffering can be converted into something super, something beneficial. That suffering can be turned into a tool that helps us and will help us understand and learn a principle for our lives. In other words, from that same suffering which we might be trying to avoid, right, there exists a possibility for something beneficial to be birthed. Now, bringing that concept to our principle and concept and principle into our Christian context, into our life of the believer, into our spiritual context, it is safe to say that we are just like our children. We find ourselves oftentimes in that same dynamic. We can testify that God, through experiences, through experienced voices, you and I have seen, felt, and heard signs or advice to not do a particular thing or to not go a particular way. Signs and advice that would help us avoid suffering or hardship. Because it is my conviction that God's desire for us is not to live lives always in suffering, in constant suffering, in a constant a life of hardship. But I propose to you today that although in his heart, I believe we're not to live lives in constant suffering, there are moments and there are seasons where suffering is our best teacher. If not, ask the people in the time of Jonah. Or maybe we can ask the people of Israel. It's easier or easier, maybe you can ask the person sitting next to you. Christ, and we can also look in at Christ's life, right? Right. Christ, in an intense and desperate and suffering-filled moment, prays this, right? Because he also went through. He says, if it be your will, praying to his Father, take this cup from me. What Christ was saying in his prayer was, in fact, take this suffering away. But what did we see? We see that it was not the will of God to take the suffering away from Christ. Suffering at that moment and later on would be a key component for his life, for his calling. It is also important to see that suffering is interwoven into the essence of this, our gospel, the gospel that we love. Right? The great father of Christianity, Martin Luther, said, God determined to be known from sufferings. Why suffering? Because we do not benefit from our natural knowledge of God, which usually tends to draw to the knowledge that he is good, loving, merciful, faithful, all the pretty nice things, right? Our knowledge, our humane knowledge usually draws that way, right? But Martin Luther says that God determined to be known through suffering. He says, because we do not benefit from our natural knowledge of God unless he is known in humility and the shame of the cross. You and I are recipients of forgiveness through the salvific work on the cross, on a suffering moment of Christ. That work was Christ's son needing to suffer so that you and I could live free and full lives today. And not only live, but live lives without prejudgment. We can all say amen to that. We can all understand that. We need to be able to be balanced in our theology, in our belief, and not only believing in the nicer things of theology and the nicer things of what this gospel is, but also understanding that there are some rougher edges to this gospel. That there are some rougher corners that we need to also be able to embrace, just as we embrace the nicer, prettier, cuter parts of this gospel. Suffering is also on the other side of this of the door. Christ said in the Gospel of John, in this world you will face adversity, trials, hardships, suffering. Clearer than that, we can't find. And just to be clear, it isn't that I am trying to make you pray for suffering or long for suffering. Or want suffering, right? That's not what we're trying to convey this morning. But rather, I am encouraging what I would like to do this morning is to encourage you to flip the script on this suffering concept of our lives. To be able to flip the script on what the enemy meant for evil, to be able to know that God also can turn for good, as we just sang. Today, I want you to do all that is possible to fight against our first human reaction and response to the thought that tells us that the only thing that comes from suffering is pain. That the only derivative of suffering is anguish and tears. Without disregarding that tears and anguish and hurt and pain do exist in suffering. Without disregarding those emotions, but that we would ask God to give us His mind, that He would help us look from a spiritual perspective, a spiritual lens, if you will, that He would give us the power that only comes from Him, so that in our hearts and in our minds, we would know that yes, there are benefits, that we can find something positive, that not only something positive, but blessings, we can find blessings even in the midst of our suffering. Sufferings that have the ability to catapult us to the next level in Him. Because the truth might be that we might need, some of us might need in our lives at this moment, and we might not want to say yes to it, but some of us might need in our lives a time or a season of suffering to push us. That although the suffering, although suffering be hard or be heavy, be costly or painful, that we'd be able to tell our spirit, just as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:28, when he turned and flipped the script, he said, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And so this morning, I'd like to take a little time to show you via scripture of what we have been saying, right? To try to show that we can, in fact, embrace suffering. There are many benefits to embracing suffering, but today I want to share with you three that I pray would open up our minds and our hearts to be able to, that when we encounter this suffering, that we would be able to flip the script on this suffering. The first blessing that can be found or attained from suffering is the blessing of others. I've been saying this everywhere. I've been saying this in all of my conversations, right? That the truth is that our faith, what we go through, the ups and the downs, our testimonies, they are all connected with one another. There is no coincidence that the person that's sitting next to you is sitting next to you. There's no coincidence that the people that form your church community, our faith is connected one to the other. Our faith, who we are as believers, we're connected, and our lives and are interwoven with one another. And maybe this might not be an ideal thing to hear or to listen to, but in this gospel, the blessings, the lessons that you and I receive, for those that might not know it yet, yes, they're for us, but they are also for those that are around us. They are also for our community. How could my friend who doesn't serve the Lord know that God is loving and a sovereign God? How can our relative or our friends know that God is still good, that God is a compassionate and merciful God, that He is with us even in the hard moments or in moments of suffering? How can our family members know that don't know the Lord, that know that God still moves, forgives, and loves in these days? They see it in a real and tangible way in the life of a believer that can still worship through suffering. They see it in a tangible way in the life of a believer that has decided to push through in the face of adversity, in the face of suffering. In a life of a believer that didn't give up in a difficult season, but rather because of that same suffering, drew closer to Christ. How much more weight or significance does our personal life song to God have when we can sing through tears? When we can sing through suffering, when we can sing when others would expect us to cry or be silent, how much more significant it is to not only say or post the verse about God being an ever-present help in time of need, how much more significant is it rather for my life to say that in the suffering, God is an ever-present help in time of need? This is why the Apostle Paul, after many experiences with suffering, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12, in various occasions, if I will boast, I will boast in my weakness, or in his times of suffering, he says. In other words, I will testify of my sufferings. I will make my sufferings known. And he does it with the end goal of encouraging and strengthening the faith of the church. Your testimony, even if you don't know it, or even if you don't give it its credit, because I feel like, on a side note, we don't give our testimonies enough credit. Sometimes we might believe that what I go through isn't enough or isn't significant for the next person to hear. And I want to tell you this morning that do not believe the enemy when he says that to you. Your testimony counts. Your testimony has weight. Your testimony can be what the person next to you needs to be able to be empowered through what they're going through. We say all the time, actions speak louder than words. I got to see it to believe it. Your testimony is worthy. It matters. And it's not just the nice, pretty ones, but also the messy ones that matter. Also the ugly ones that matter. The ones like the woman of suffering for 12 years, Jairus, was blessed as he saw the miracle of this suffering woman. She suffered for 12 years. She wasn't going to Christ so that someone else could be blessed. She was going because she was desperate and suffering. And in her suffering and in her journey of desperation, someone else saw it and was blessed. Your testimony, I came to tell somebody, matters. Your pretty ones and your ugly ones matter. We are in God's time to share not only the good, but the bad and the ugly, so that those that are on the fence of this faith, so that those that have a misconception of who Christ is or misconception of who the church is can be saved and changed for the Lord. We can embrace suffering because suffering can bless others. I don't know if this has happened to you, but I have found myself, years after I've gone through a situation, speaking to somebody, sharing about my situation, and it blessing them. But the reality is that as I was going through that suffering, my first question to God was, why, God? And then years after, I'm able to share something with somebody that blesses somebody else. Our testimony matters. The ugly ones matter. The rough ones matter. This gospel is not only a shirt and tie, pretty looking, glossy. It's not only about that. It has some rough edges. It has some dirty moments. It has some times where we have to roll up our sleeves and dirty up our hands. This gospel has that. And we should be able to testify of both. I have gone through sufferings and in moments in my immaturity, I didn't understand. And later on, I find out that God worked it all out for the good of myself and also for the good of someone else. Sometimes we'll have to wait a while to finally say, now I understand. Sometimes we'll have to wait a while to say, ah, that's why I had to go through that. But because God is so good, I want to tell someone that there will come a time in our lives where our testimony will be exactly what someone else needs to hear. That the testimony of your suffering, that the testimony of all those years of crying, of those tears that you cried, that the testimony of those, all those hard nights, of all those days will be exactly what someone else needs to see the light and bring hope into their lives. And I have to tell you, may we recognize what a privilege, on a side note, what a privilege it is to be used by God to bless others. It's a privilege. Sometimes we're, I don't want to share this. Oh God, it is a privilege to be able to share and bless somebody, to be used by God as that channel. Hebrews 12:11 says, this verse was timely, a timely verse in my life. A timely verse shared when I received this. It says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Everybody says amen to that, right? But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We can embrace suffering, church. You and I should have the same thought with regards to our lives as the Apostle Paul does when he addresses the church in Philippi. He speaks of his life as being poured out. Our lives should be constantly poured out. In other words, what you and I go through and have gone through and are on the other side of should not stay in its container. Rather, it should be constantly poured out so that others can hear and see how good and gracious and merciful God has been. We can embrace suffering because from our suffering, the opportunity for others to be blessed is found. The second observation as to why we can embrace suffering is because suffering shapes our character. Jesus Christ, I thought this was so beautiful, right? Jesus Christ was called and is called the bread of life. You and I in Scripture are referred to as the clay in the potter's hand. You know what a similarity there is between the bread and the clay? The bread and the clay, the bread, in order for it to be formed into the best consistency or best character, in order to be served the right way, needs to be kneaded, needs to be worked at, right? Clay, in the same form, in order for it to be shaped into the best vessel that it needs to be for the time needed, also needs to be kneaded, also needs to be worked. You and I have been called to be the same as clay. We are called to be this example of Christ. And so I found it beautiful to see that in Scripture, Christ says, I am the bread, which we understand all the beautiful thing that the bread comes, but it also implies that he needed to be worked at, that he needed to be kneaded. And then we're told that we're clay in his hands, also needed to be kneaded. We need to know that it is something that is needed in our lives. Our character needs to be worked at, and the church says, amen. Going further on to that fact, we just, like Christ, need to go through a type of suffering to mold our character. The Apostle Paul tells us in Scripture, paraphrasing, that we are co-inheritors of Christ. In other words, we have the ability to enjoy everything that comes from God the Father as Christ does, but that if we want to share in his victory, we must too share in his suffering. The clay needs to be kneaded just as the bread needed to be kneaded. He also tells us in James that we would count it a blessing unto us that we would what? Suffer for the gospel. That we would have it as supreme joy to suffer for this gospel. It is a fundamental change in our thought that needs to take place. Oftentimes, it is suffering that humbles humbles us. Oftentimes, it is suffering that softens the ground or the terrain of our hearts. It is oftentimes suffering that is needed in our lives. Oftentimes, as we mentioned earlier, suffering is the only remedy or the only channel through which we can get the change needed for our lives. Because think with me, we grow up a certain way. We've been trained a certain way. We learn our characteristics as we grow from the people around us, from our family, from community, for certain situations that have happened in our lives. And so when we get to adulthood, we are affirmed in those characters. We are deeply rooted in those characters. And so it needs something traumatic, something hard and strong to change a character that we've been forming since we were growing. If not, I'd like to ask a husband or a wife how hard it is to change a husband or a wife's character. The only thing we need that is needed, and no side eyes, please. I don't want anyone leaving here angry at each other, right? We know it's not an easy thing, right? But to change something that is so deeply rooted in who we are, it takes something shocking and traumatic, something strong, something that might be unexpected to occur in our lives to change, for change to happen. In order for something like character that is so complex, so deeply and strongly rooted in who we are, this thing that we have since we were born, something stronger needs to occur for that to change. For it to change, it makes sense that there needs to be something equally strong or stronger, something shocking or traumatic, something unexpected that will cause character to change. God does accept us as who we are, right? Because I felt like I needed to put that in to say, God does accept us as who we are, right? But we need to understand also that there needs to be change in who we are. If there were no need for people to change in their lives, then there would be no need for Christ to die on the cross. Romans 5, the Apostle Paul, who is a great proponent of the suffrage theology, as it's called, writes, "Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand." Talking about Christ, right? So he says, through Christ and our faith, it helps us stand firm. Firmness being an attribute of character, right? And he continues and says, "And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. So in other words, he's saying, we rejoice not only in the pretty things, not only in the faith or in the understanding of what Christ has done for us. He says, not only that, he makes a distinction. He says, but we rejoice also in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces what? Character, and character produces hope. In other words, it is not only the beautiful truth or thought on Christ and what he did for us that keeps us firm. It is not only our faith that keeps us rejoicing, but it also involves our lives engaging in suffering that changes our character by adding to it perseverance, and through that being able to produce hope. And hope is seen not only by us, but also seen by those around us. We can embrace suffering. Even Jesus, in his 100% man character, needed to be worked. We mentioned already the occurrence in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ in his humanity is suffering and is being worked into becoming the perfect cup needed for the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8 also shows us the following. He says, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence." Verse 8 says, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered." A missionary of the Assemblies of God, Dick Brogdon, says this, "We too must have our Calvary before we have our Pentecost." We too must suffer sometimes before we have our victory. In life of a believer, it can be said that suffering is essential because sin is in our nature, and therefore there needs to be a change in our nature, in our character. We can embrace suffering because suffering molds our character. And the last point of observation, as I asked the team to come up, is because suffering, we can embrace suffering because suffering reminds us of who He is. When one of our daughters gets hurt, when one of our children has a problem, when our children get lost, their first thought or their first natural reaction is to run to, look for, seek out someone that they know innately within them will help them. In other words, they automatically go to someone that they just know will do whatever the cost is to help them. They will go to the person they know they can find rest and comfort and peace and safety. This person has obtained this position in the life of the child via consistency of who they are towards them or who they've been towards them. In other words, if we were in a dangerous situation and needed help from someone, our reaction or who we go to is determined from who they have been already to us for a consistent amount of time. And so this person has proven themselves to be a helper. And so our hearts innately run to this person. You and I are the same and should be the same. In suffering, we should know who we need to run to. In suffering, our natural reaction should be to draw near to the one whose love and faithfulness has proven to be good always. In suffering, in time of need, our reaction should not be to fly off the cuff. It should not be to get drowned in emotions. Rather, it should be to anchor in on the one who has proven himself to be faithful to us already. To God, why? Not because it's a pretty thing to do, not because it's the nice or the right thing to say, but because we know who He has been, who He is, and who He will be. Suffering, the hard times, they should change us. They should adjust our thoughts and hearts and remind us of who God not only has been, but is towards us and for us. Just as a prodigal son, he found himself suffering. He found himself in a low place. And yet even this inconsiderate, disrespectful, immature son knows that even after all that he did, in his life, he knew that he could turn to his father's house. He knows where to turn. He knows that he can always look unto the hills where cometh his strength. He knew and he knows that he can always look to his father's house. I'm here to remind someone that if you find yourself suffering today, that if you find yourself in a hardship today, that if you find yourself in the lows of lows, I want to remind you that you can always look to your Father's house. Please don't forget that you can always look unto the hills. Please don't forget that you can always walk towards your Father's house. Please don't forget where cometh your strength. I look at my daughter with the same eyes today as I looked at her when she came out of her mother's womb. I want to remind somebody that if we look to God, if we look to our Father, even in our suffering, looks at us the same way as when we first met Him. Suffering. What's happening around us doesn't change His perception about us. And so it shouldn't change our disposition towards Him.
that will never change. In our times of suffering, God's view of you and I does not change. I'm here to encourage someone that in your suffering, turn your sight to your Father's house. Turn your sight to your Father's house. I'm going to say it again. Turn your sight to your Father's house. I know that suffering has the ability to fog our minds. I know that suffering has the ability to dampen our view or to darken our view, to make us forget who God is for us. But I came to tell someone that our God is the same God in the mountaintops as He is in the valley moments. It was failure. It was suffering that made this guy finally, humbly, from the right place, turn his sight to his Father's house. It was suffering. I'd rather suffer with God than without. I'd rather go through it knowing who is with me and to know that He has never and will never leave my side than go through the valley of shadow of death alone. I'd rather, like the psalmist say, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh and suffering, when my enemies and my foes attack me, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. I'd rather suffer with God than without. We can embrace suffering because suffering should remind us of who God is for us. Suffering humbles our heart. Suffering has a way, and I know many we can testify that suffering has a way to place us in the right space to be able to hear from God. And this suffering, if you leave it to us, we don't want it. I don't want that. But sometimes I need to be placed in the right space. And sometimes it takes this traumatic thing to happen to place me in the right space so that Christ can now be my ever-present help in time of need. The Apostle Paul said, "For the sake of Christ, then I am content with my weakness. Insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." In other words, suffering. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Not his physical strength. Because as we said, we don't disregard the hardship and suffering. We don't disregard the tears and suffering. But what he was saying was that in those moments, I am strong because I realize that my strength has nothing to do with me and everything to do with God. The psalmist in Psalm 86 says, verse 7, "In the day of my troubles, I call upon you, for you answer me." I want to tell someone that don't let your present circumstance tell you who God is for you. Don't let your present circumstance dictate who God is for you. Don't let your suffering tell you who God is not. Flip the script, and in your suffering, remind your heart that when we pray to God, God hears. That when we pray to God, God sees us. That when we pray to God, God reacts and God will do. Leonard Ravenhill, in his book, Why Revival Tarries, said this in one of his prayers: "Bless us with the breakings." And this term jumped out at me, and I was like, God, what, my gosh, what a hard statement, or what a hard prayer. But what he was saying was he was recognizing that in the breaking moments, those were the moments that he saw God for who He was. And so he's saying, God, bless me by reminding me of those hardships, because in those hardships is when I saw you for who you really were. I am convinced that it is my conviction that God wants us to know Him, as Martin Luther said, in His suffering and through sufferings. Rainbows come after storms. Flowers and leaves bloom after the harshness of winter. The wound is where the light enters. It isn't in calm seas that make the captain of a ship experience. It is the troubled waters that make him a learned and experienced leader and captain. This gospel and suffering I know it's not the most ideal thing for me to tell you this morning, but this gospel and this suffering, they do go together. Suffering is found in this gospel. Listen to this. We are not promised relief of struggle or sufferings of life, but we are promised the presence of our Lord in their midst. And that should be enough for us to continue to push through. The thought that in my suffering, whether I brought it upon myself or not, and that's for another time, right? But the thought that in my suffering, the Lord, our Father, our sweet Savior, is ever close should bring us to a settling place. He died on the cross. He was beaten. He suffered. And it was necessary for Him to go through suffering for our sake. Jesus, our suffering King, it is necessary for us to go through suffering. Christ wants to remind you this morning, someone suffering this morning, someone suffering in quiet, someone suffering alone, that there is and exists the possibility of victory even in our suffering. Christ has been showing this to us for a while. There's a story in Scripture. With this I close. The team could come up. Christ appears to the disciples after He is crucified. And Thomas, poor Thomas, who has, I think senior pastors, for one certain moment, he asked the question. Now he's known as Doubting Thomas. But Thomas says to Him what many of us would have said. I got to see it to believe it. And you know what Christ did? Christ invites Thomas to do what? To touch His hands. Christ invited Thomas to take part in His suffering so that he would know that through the suffering there is victory. Christ wants to remind us this morning that there's a possibility of victory through suffering. As we stand to our feet, we can embrace suffering. I read a book by David Paulison because when the Lord gave me this sermon, I started reading on it, like just trying to find, right? And it's a book called God's Grace in Your Suffering. He said, God uses significant suffering to teach us to need Him. And when we need Him, we find Him. I don't know who this is for, but we can embrace suffering because in our suffering, others can be blessed. We can embrace suffering because our suffering works out our character. We can embrace suffering with God, because suffering should remind us in all seasons, in every moment, of who God is for us. Ultimately, what makes the difference in time of suffering, and even full-out drag seasons of hardship, is whether or not we are in the furnace with or without God. If we have Christ, not only in our hearts, but also sovereign in our minds and in our emotions. So it is not to say let us pray for suffering, but let us pray through suffering. May it teach us. May we learn from it. May we come out experienced voyagers. May we come out experienced believers. May it mold us into the vessel that God wants us to be for His glory. This morning, the altar is open. For anyone that is going through suffering right now and is dealing and is struggling with this, why God? Why now? Why me? Why this? For anyone that is having trouble understanding that there is victory, there is love, there is favor, there is peace available even in suffering, the altar is open. God wants you to touch His hand, to touch and experience
His suffering so that you would know that in suffering there is victory available for us as well. We can embrace suffering. As we sing with the worship team, we'd love to pray with you. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.